So it's very nice to be with you all this morning. And we're continuing on discussing Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So what we'll do is we'll do a quick recap of what we've discussed so far, and then we'll see who Narad Muni meets on his journey as he continues on meeting different personalities. So we spoke about how Brihat Bhagavatamrita was spoken. It's a conversation between Parikshit and Uttara. Uttara is the mother of Parikshit. So after Parikshit heard the whole Bhagavatam, his mother requested, "Can you tell me what is the essence? What's the gist of everything?" So nowadays we like everything bite size. So Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the essence. So it's a very, very important book because it said Bhagavatam, Sarva Vedan Dasaram Hi, Srimad Bhagavatam Ishade, Sarva Vedanta. If we were to get all the books of the Vedas, we would be able to fill up this room many, many times over. That's how many books there are. But the Bhagavatam, Sarva Vedanta, Saram Hi, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishyate. The Bhagavatam is the essence of all of those books. And then the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the essence of that Bhagavatam. So it's the essence of the essence. So, this was spoken by Parikshit to his mother, and we talked about how the Brihat Bhagavatamrita was documented. So our great teacher Vyasadeva, he wrote down all of the literatures so that we could read them and understand them. So he wrote down the Bhagavatam, he recorded the conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. Then he wrote down the Mahabharata, which was a conversation between who? Janamajaya and Arjun, who? Jaimini, Vaishampayana. Yes, you're not wrong. Arjun and other characters do speak in the Mahabharata, but the original conversation is Vaishampayana and Janamajaya, and then they're recounting many other conversations. So the original conversation is Vaishampayana and Janamajaya. Janamajaya is the son of Parikshit, excellent. And when he wanted to end the Mahabharata, then he ended it with a very nice sweet. And what was the end of the Mahabharata? The Hari? Haribol. Haribamsa, yes. A book all about Krishna's pastimes. And that same Mahabharata was spoken again to Janamajaya by Jaimini. And the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is the appendix to that book, the final suite. So this book was revealed to the great teacher Sanatan Goswami in his trance, and he wrote it down, and that's why we are reading it today here. And it's two questions being answered. Who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, and what is the greatest abode? So we're dealing with the first half, okay? Narad Muni's journey to find out who got the most mercy from Krishna. Because this is Narad Muni's prayer, that no one should ever think, "I have enough mercy." Each one of us in this room should think, "I need more mercy." One time Srila Prabhupada had a piece of bread and he was by a lake, so he was breaking off the bread and he was giving it to all the ducks. So then they looked, and Prabhupada was giving more bread to one duck. And this duck was just getting the mercy from Srila Prabhupada. And then one devotee said, "Srila Prabhupada, why are you giving more bread to that duck?" Prabhupada said, "He is quacking the loudest." Another time Srila Prabhupada was right there, and there were three devotees there, and one devotee, Brahmananda, big devotee, he was in the middle, so Prabhupada gave them three laddus. So immediately, without any prasadam prayers or anything, Brahmananda had his laddu. And then he looked around, and then he took the other three laddus and had theirs as well. And Prabhupada said, "Just see, prasadam means mercy. And if you don't take it, it may just disappear." So you have to take it. See, the thing is, we are here. We are here in Buckland, and the fact of the matter is, mercy is available. When we walk out of Buckland's at the end of this weekend, we don't know what will happen. We don't know where we will be. We don't know how life will turn out. This world is so unpredictable that things can change in a snap. So while the mercy is available, while you have the opportunity, you must take it. Otherwise, if you don't take the mercy, it may just disappear. So Narad Muni is trying to find out who got the mercy. So he began his journey in Kumbh Mela. He went to see the Brahmana. And he saw this Brahmana worshipping the Shalagram Shiva and said, "You got the most mercy." The Brahmana said, "No, not me. Because I just do this once a year. There is someone, a king, and that king, he does this worship every day. What does the king teach us? The secret to mercy is the everyday principle. Do something every single day." I tell you, people ask me all kinds of questions. So once I was in a class and someone put their hand up and said, "Babuji, do you believe in arranged marriages or love marriages?" Do I look like a marriage counselor? So what I said to this person was that, does a love marriage guarantee that there's love in the marriage? Yes or no?
No.
Does an arranged marriage guarantee that there's love in the marriage?
No.
So what guarantees that there's love in the marriage?
Everyday.
The everyday principle.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how you come together. It matters what you do after you're together. It matters how much commitment you show to each other. It matters how much sacrifice you're willing to make for each other. That's where love comes from. Therefore, however we came to Krishna consciousness, some because of friends, some because of distress, some because of we wanted something from Krishna. Krishna, give me a house by the sea, a color TV, a 3GB MP3. Jai Jagadish Hare. So we may have come for so many reasons to Krishna, but the difference now that's going to be made is what are you going to do in your commitment with your relationship with Krishna. According to how much commitment you have to Krishna, that's how much relationship will develop with Krishna and be deep. So we can say, "I love Krishna, I love Krishna, Krishna is in my heart," but then how much are we doing for Krishna? That's the question. So he told him the everyday principle, "This is what I learned from the king." So Narad Muni went to the king and he said, "Oh yes, I'm seeing now what the Brahmana said was right. I'm looking at you. You are such a great devotee." He said, "I'm a small person. There's someone much greater than me. He has more than me. And all of what he has, he's using it for Krishna. And who is that?
Indra."
So then, Narad Muni went to Indra, the heavenly planet, Amaravati. And there Indra taught us that the secret to mercy is offer your best, whatever you have, offer your best to Krishna. You see, sometimes in life we are very ungrateful. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have this kind of chronic tendency to always see what we don't have. Krishna in our life has given us so much. I tell you, I read one quote once and it changed the way I look at life. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "I complained that I didn't have shoes until I met someone who didn't have any legs." One time there was a girl in the class and the class teacher asked all the students, "What are the 7 wonders of the world?" She said, "What is the 7 wonders of the world?" So different people said different things. This place, that place, this place. And then one girl put her hand up and said, "The 7 wonders of the world, I can see, I can smell, I can touch, I can taste, I can hear, I can love, and I can laugh." And everyone else thought, "Wise girl." The small things in life that we have, which seem very small, we don't appreciate those things. So they say, spend one day without complaining and see the entirety of your life begins to change. Just like we can be at the dinner table and the sabji can be there, and the rice can be there, and the salad can be there, and the lemon water can be there. But we're looking, saying, where are the baturas? By the way, I had plenty of baturas yesterday. I'm happy, but I'm just using this as an example. While we're thinking, what I don't have, all the preparations that are there on your table, you can't relish one of them because you're thinking of what you don't have. You're thinking, where are the baturas? Who's organizing this retreat? Sham Priya, Krishnapurna. That's the nature of life. So we need to somehow or other see what Krishna has given us. Shall we do a social experiment today? Today is Easter Sunday. Sunday is the day of rest. You know, sometimes when someone complains all the time, when someone is really negative, they say in English, can you just give it a rest? Can you just give it a rest? So today we're going to do a social experiment. From today, Bhagavatam class, to tomorrow, Bhagavatam class, not one of us in this room is going to complain. Not one of us is going to say anything negative. And if anyone says anything negative, you have the right to ask them for £1. And all proceeds will go to the Haveli. Kana, you on board?
Yes.
Now how is that for a fundraising initiative? Seriously, try it today. Every time you think I'm going to say something negative or I'm going to complain, stop yourself. And every time you hear someone even begin, just say, Prabhu, at least for one day, give it a rest. Because you know what? When you change the way you see things, the things you see change. When you change the way you see things, the things you see change. So somehow or other, if we can develop this very positive mentality, here Indra has been given so much. We shouldn't think only Indra has been given so much, we've also been given so much. So now somehow or other we have to use all of that for Krishna. When they go into the Ganga, isn't it? Have you seen? When they go into the Ganga, what do? They take the Ganga, jal, and then what do? They just offer it back. Because it's meant to say, what can I offer to Ganga? I have nothing to offer to Ganga. All I can do is take your own water and give it back to you with some of my bhakti added. So Krishna has given us so much, none of it is ours. Your prana, your artha, your dhiya, your vacha, your intelligence, resources, none of this is yours. You have no control over it because tomorrow you could lose it like that. So while you have it, use it for Krishna. If you don't use it for Krishna, someone else will come and take it from you. Sometimes they say, if you cheated someone in your life, if you cheated someone for money in your life, sometimes that person comes back to you in the next life as your son. And then he takes every penny and he'll do it while you're smiling. Why do you think I became a brahmachari? Hare Krishna. So this is the nature. While we have it, use it for Krishna. Use it for Krishna. You will be happy. Krishna will be happy. And everyone will be happy. Sarva Sukhino Bhavantu. Yes, Ramesh Prabhu?
Prana will be very happy.
Prana will be very happy as well. So you went to Indra. Indra, you got the mercy. So much you're using for Krishna. Indra said, yes, yes, but sometimes I become proud. Sometimes all the things I have, I think they are mine.
I think I am something great. Sometimes I don't realize that all of this is coming from Krishna, and the proof is when Krishna told the Brajavasis to stop worshipping me, then I became very angry. Therefore Indra said, no, no, I made a mistake. You need to go to
Brahma.
Brahma, he got more mercy than me, because Brahma takes responsibility. Factually, no one wants to take responsibility, because responsibility means anxiety. No one wants to be a temple president. Trust me. No one wants to be a temple president. Prabhupada, they once asked, what's the job description of a temple president? Prabhupada said, if something goes wrong, it's your fault. So one time Srila Prabhupada wanted someone to become a temple president. Prabhupada knew there would be resistance. So he had just got married. So Prabhupada called him to the room. Already he was nervous. I mean, if Prabhupada calls you to his room, that's nerve-wracking. So he came into the room, newly married. Prabhupada said, I've been thinking about your future. Oh my God, now the heart rate is going up. And I've been thinking what you should do. And my conclusion is that you should take sannyas. Sannyas! But I have my mother, I have my wife, I have my children, I just got married, you know, and he's just going crazy thinking, sannyas, I didn't think it could be this bad. And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, don't worry, don't worry. Okay, you want to take sannyas? It's okay. Just become temple president. So temple president, I'll do anything. I will do anything, but not sannyas. So Prabhupada was expert. He knew how to convince. The power of persuasion. So, he did it. He took responsibility. It's difficult, there's anxiety, but there's great mercy. Because Krishna has a big anxiety. And the anxiety is, how can all these living souls in the world be benefited? So someone who says, I'll try to help Krishna, to do some service, to help Krishna's purpose, that person gets great mercy. So Narad Muni came to Brahma, he said, you've taken so much responsibility. I think you are the greatest devotee of Krishna. Brahma said, no, no, not me. I'm a small guy. I'm just a secondary creator. Mahavishnu, everything is coming from Mahavishnu. I just do some secondary engineering to put it all together. I'm not so great. Brahma said, who sent you here to me? Narad Muni said, no, no, Indra sent me to you because Indra said, you got more mercy. Brahma started laughing. He said, Indra sent you to me? Don't you know that me and Indra, we both made mistakes in Vrindavan? What was Indra's mistake? He sent the Samvarta cloud, he sent all the rains. And Brahma said, Indra made a mistake, I also made a mistake. What was Brahma's mistake?
He took all the cowherd boys,
isn't it? So Brahma said, it's funny that Indra should send you to me, because out of both of our mistakes, my one was 10 times worse. Why? Why was Brahma's mistake even worse than Indra's mistake? If you look in the Bhagavatam, Indra makes the mistake, few prayers and Krishna forgives him. Brahma, many, many prayers and Krishna is still like, okay, I'm not sure, okay. He didn't forgive Brahma so easily. What is the difference between Indra's mistake and Brahma's mistake? The difference is, the result of Indra's mistake was that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and all the Brajabasis came together in one place. So Krishna was actually very, very happy because Krishna loves to associate with his devotees. So where else do you find in Vraja Leela that Krishna is with the gopis, the gopas, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, all the cowherd ladies of Vrindavan, all the cows at the same time? Never you will find it in Krishna Leela. Either Krishna is with one or the other. But here Krishna was with everyone together, so actually Krishna was very happy. But Brahma's mistake meant Krishna was separated. So So Brahma said, I messed up big time. So how can you say I got the most mercy from Krishna? I didn't get the most mercy from Krishna. But I know someone who did. I know someone who got the most mercy from Krishna. And you know what I'm telling you? If you want to meet this person, then you have to go beyond the material world. So Narada Muni said, who is that? Brahma said, I'm guaranteeing you this person is the best of all Vaishnavas and is even mentioned in the scriptures, Vaishnavanam Yatha Sambhu. Go to
Shiva.
Because Shiva got more mercy than me. Why? Brahma says Shiva got more mercy because Shiva, he helps even the ghosts. He helps even the hobgoblins. He helps even the demons. He helps people to get Krishna. Shiva has his own sampradaya, isn't it? And in that sampradaya, so much knowledge is being given. When the demons and the demigods were churning the milk ocean, then many, many items came out, and one very dangerous item came out. What was that item?
Poison.
So that poison had the ability to destroy the whole universe. So what did Shiva do? He drank the poison. Nilkant. His throat became bluish. So it said, Dapyande lokatapena sadavo prayaso jana paramaradhananta di purushasya kilatmana. That the great personalities, Dapyande lokatapena. Yesterday we talked about tapa. So here, Dapyande lokatapena. The great personalities take on suffering to relieve the suffering of others. Param aradhanam dadhi. Aradhanam means worship. Param aradhanam means greatest worship. What's the greatest worship? To go in front of Krishna and pray? That's high worship. But you know even higher worship? To take on suffering to help Krishna's parts and parcels, the living entities. Then you get more mercy. So therefore, Narad Muni, he learned from Brahma that Shiva got more mercy because Shiva gives mercy to others. If you want to get mercy, you have to give mercy. Once there was a Baba and he had a policy, the first customer of the day, I'll give them a free haircut. So one day a florist came. Free haircut, you're the first customer. Great. Then the next day, the barber was amazed because there were 12 bunches of flowers. That was very nice. Next day, a baker came, first customer of the day, free haircut for you. Then the following day, the barber was amazed because there were 12 loaves of bread. Third day, a Gujarati came. First customer of the day, congratulations, free haircut. Next morning, there were 12 more Gujaratis. The Mafatlal family. Ki Loda. When I was growing up, I heard one word all the time in my family, Kanjus. It means a miser, one who's stingy, one who receives so much, but never gives. He's not magnanimous. He's not kind. He's not concerned about others. Such a person won't live a wholesome life. When you breathe in, then what do you do next? And then what do? You breathe in and you breathe out. This is the rhythm of life. You receive and you give. And then you receive more and you give. If you just try to breathe in all the time, you will be Finito. Very quick. You need to receive and give. Receive and give. So this is the spirit of this movement. That Srila Prabhupada said, Jari Dekha, Tare Gaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agyaya Guru, Anatare E Desh. Whoever you see, whoever you meet, try to give them some element of Krishna consciousness. Try to help people, be very kind. Try to always be in a spirit of being concerned about other people. Not that we should always just be concerned about me, my life, my immediate family. We must be more open-hearted. When I joined, like in this movement, I saw many devotees are unique species, I have to say. They do things where, you know, we've never seen it before. So once I remember, I joined the temple, and then I was at a petrol station with the devotees. So I was filling up the petrol, he said, put 60 pounds in. So I was filling up the petrol, you know, when it gets to 59 pounds, then you're just like, like this, you know. Anyway, finally I hit it, 60 pounds on the dot. And then the devotee goes, one more. He says, no, no, but you want 60 pounds. He said, then just put one extra P in. So you're a senior devotee, you have to follow, you know. So I put one extra pence in. I said, what's the meaning of this? He said, if you do 60 pounds and one pence, then the attendant will never ask you for that one penny. And that means Shell petrol station has donated one penny to Krishna. That's for their eternal benefit. I said, I never thought of life like that, you know. I never thought of doing that ever. But devotees, somehow they're in that spirit, always thinking how to benefit someone else. There was a great devotee, Jayananda. He would drive on the motorway. Once he was driving on the motorway, he stopped and there was an apple tree. So he took one apple off and he offered it to Krishna. And then he ate it. And then he was getting in the car and he thought, you know what? I want everyone to have prasadam. So you know what he did? Right there on the motorway, he set up an altar and he offered the whole tree to Krishna. Now don't ask me, you know, you can ask Suchi Rani and Shampri about offering food, whether it's bona fide, I don't know whether that's bona fide. The point is, look at the spirit. The spirit is always how to help others. So Vaishnava, if you want to get mercy, you have to give mercy. Sometimes we're so insensitive to others. We're not concerned. The other day I was in central London and I saw a homeless person. And this homeless person had a sign. And it said, give me hope. I thought, my God, homeless, he feels hopeless, helpless. So I was observing the whole thing. Some people were coming and throwing in some coins. Another person went to Costa Coffee and gave him a coffee. Another person came and just listened to him and offered some nice words. Factually, I thought, his sign says, give me hope. How much hope is money going to give someone? How much hope is a coffee from Costa Coffee going to give you? How much hope even is some encouraging words? It's nice, but it only goes so far. But if you can give someone transcendental knowledge, a means by which they can understand how to come out of the chaos of this world, then you give them the greatest hope. So Shiva is so much in that spirit. He's always giving mercy to others, giving Krishna to others. And in that way, he receives so much mercy. So if you invest in others, then Krishna will invest in you. This is a very, very important point to understand. So Narad Muni went to Shiva and he said, yes, you got the most mercy. And then Shiva, you can see here in the picture. As soon as Narad Muni was glorifying him, what did Shiva do? He closed his ears and he said, you're talking rubbish. I am not the person who received the most mercy. There's someone that received even more mercy than me. And you're quoting Shastra to me, but let me quote Shastra to you. In the Bhagavatam, this person that I'm going to tell you about, he's the greatest devotee. He's even greater than me. He is Bhakta Shiromani. Shiromani means the crest jewel. He's the Bhakta Raj. He's the foremost, the king of all devotees. This devotee is so great that by his devotion, the Lord appeared in the most unique way possible. The Lord appeared in the most unique form possible. The Lord appeared with the most unique mood possible. This devotee is so great that his devotion not only liberated him, but liberated 21 generations of his own family. Who's that?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Prahlad Maharaj. So he said, Prahlad Maharaj got more mercy than me. Prahlad Maharaj got more mercy than me. Because Prahlad Maharaj, he was always thinking about Krishna. He was always meditating on Krishna. He was always reliant upon Krishna. So if you learn to rely and depend on Krishna, then Krishna will give you more mercy in your life. But if you try to control the situation every single time, if you try to take things into your own hands, then Krishna will take a step back and then he won't get involved. But the moment you put your hands up and put your life in Krishna's hands, then Krishna's hands start becoming very, very active. You know, it's like in this movement you learn many things, and I tell you, in these years, one thing I've learned very well, not many things, but one thing I've learned very well is how to jumpstart a car. Because somehow or other our vehicles are always breaking down. So I've got it down now. I know how to do a push start. I can do it anytime. If you have a problem, call me. I'll help you. I know how to do it. But if the person is in the driver's seat of the car and there's five people behind the car pushing it so that you can get going, but the person in the driver's seat has put up their handbrake, then all the people are pushing. And all they're asking you is, Prabhu, you're sitting comfortably in the driver's seat, can you just put the handbrake down? Like, just help us a little bit, put the handbrake down. And then we can push. But the person in the driver's seat cannot hear. If you live your life with the handbrake up, always trying to control everything, then you will never give Krishna a chance to become active in your life and push you. At one point, we have to learn to let go. We have to learn to rely on Krishna. We have to have that faith. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yagyata pasham sarvaloka maheshwaram suriram sarvabhutanam gnatvamam shantim rachiti. You want shanti in your life? Understand these two main things. First thing is sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna is in charge of everything. Not one blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. But not only is Krishna in control of every single thing, the second piece of good news is suridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the best friend of everyone. So imagine you have a best friend who's in control of everything. You can't go wrong. Some friends in this world, they're not really your friends and they're in control of a lot of things. That's dangerous. And some people, they may be your friends, but they're not in control of everything. But Krishna is the best friend and he's in control of everything. So we just need to learn to rely on Krishna a little bit. Let go. One time a man fell off the cliff and he was falling and falling and falling, and then he grabbed onto a branch. But then he saw the branch was beginning to snap. So then he called out, "If there's a God out there, please save me." And he called from the depths of his heart. And then a voice, heavens opened up, a light came, and a voice from the sky came, "My dear boy, I'm here to save you. Just let go." And then this man was hanging on, and then he shouted out again, "That's nice. Is there anyone else out there who can help me? I'm not willing to let go. Is there anyone else who can help?" So the point is, Krishna is there, but are you ready to let go? Now, one thing I want to make a point is that relying on Krishna doesn't mean that you don't do anything. Okay? Like a man prayed, "Oh, I want to win the lottery, I want to win the lottery. I know I'm a sinner, but make me a winner. I want to win the lottery, I want to win the lottery." Praying, 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 praying. End of life, he came in front of God. He said, "God, you cheated me. Every single day I prayed to you, I want to win the lottery, but you didn't even help me at all. God said I was willing to help you. At least you could have bought a lottery ticket." So the point we're saying is that, not that you don't do anything, try your best. If you don't plan, they say, failing to plan means planning to fail. So you plan, you make arrangements, you try your best. But once everything is said and done, you have to rely on Krishna. And whatever happens, be confident that that's Krishna's plan in your life. Here, look at Prahlad. He's relying upon Krishna. Now someone may say, all these people are trying to kill him, why doesn't he try and fight back? But the point is, Prahlad has intelligence. He knows, with my endeavor, I go as far as I can. In this situation, practically, I'm just a boy. I'm not going to be able to do anything in this situation. So what does Prahlad do? He realizes, my efforts have gone as far as they can. Then what he does is he just sits down and then he just engages in Vishnu Smaranam. Then he says, "Okay, now Krishna, I did my bit. Everything else depends on you. Now, it's your problem." So, someone may say that, you know, relying on Krishna, what does that mean in my life? It means do as much as you can, but then be willing and ready to accept whatever Krishna's plan is in our life. Sometimes we're so, like, frustrated, so always trying to fight Krishna's plans. Don't try and fight Krishna's plans. Prabhupada's father said, "God has 10 hands and you have 2. So if with your 2 hands you're trying to protect and God with his 10 hands is trying to take away, you have no power. And it works the other way as well. If God wants to give you with his 10 hands, with your 2 hands you won't even be able to receive. Krishna will give you that much. So we have to somehow or other learn to rely on Krishna. If we never learn to rely on Krishna, we'll never experience Krishna's mercy in our life. So Narad Muni went to Prahlad Maharaj, he said, "You are the greatest Vaishnava because you've learned to rely on Krishna. You've learned to become completely dependent." And then Prahlad Maharaj, as soon as he began hearing this glorification from Narad Muni, he said, "I am not the one. I didn't get so much mercy. I'm just a kid. My devotion is very, very childish. You think Nrisingadev came to save me? Not really. He came to honor the word of Brahma. He came to save his 2 descendants, Jay and Vijay. He came to protect Dharma in the world. He didn't really come to protect me. I'm just a nobody," Prahlad said. Prahlad said, "The truth is that Krishna, when he came to save me, then at the end, after he saved me, he awarded me with a whole kingdom. this is proof that I didn't get Krishna's mercy. He said, like, but Krishna rewarded you. How's that proof that you didn't get Krishna's mercy? And then Prahlad Maharaj said, because Krishna says, Yasyaham anumrinami harishe dadhanam shane tatodhanam tijantasya svajana dukadukitam. Krishna says, when I especially favor someone, harishe dadhanam shane. Hari means one who takes away everything. So yesterday we were singing the Vaishnav Bhajan and all of you were chanting, Hari, Hari! I was observing. So now you've chanted, Hari, Hari! Hari may come and Hari may take away many things. Be prepared. Tato dhanam dijantasya svajana dukadukitam. Now when Krishna gives you a special mercy, then he may present you with many obstacles. So Prahlad Maharaj said, this is proof. I didn't get the mercy because Krishna gave me, but when he gives more mercy, sometimes he takes away. And Prahlad Maharaj said, the ultimate proof that I didn't get the most mercy from Krishna is because I engaged Krishna in my service. I engaged Krishna to come and save me. But a greater devotee doesn't expect any service from Krishna. A greater devotee is ready to offer service to Krishna. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, there's someone who got even greater mercy than me. This person, he served the Lord with his heart. He served the Lord with his heart so much that one time he even opened his chest and the Lord was sitting right there. This devotee is so great that he is the perfection of dasya. This devotee was willing to jump from one land to another to sacrifice, to fulfill the Lord's wish and desire. This devotee is...
Hanuman.
He said, Hanuman got more mercy than me. Because Hanuman is always looking to see what they can do for Krishna. So he says, the secret of mercy you learn from Hanuman is have the service attitude. That is love. One time they asked someone, a guru, a disciple asked his guru, what's the difference between loving and liking? So the guru said to the disciple, you see that flower over there? If you like the flower, you will go over there, you will pick the flower and you'll smell it. But if you love the flower, then you'll go over there and you'll water it, you'll take care of it, and you'll protect it. So how many of us like Krishna and how many of us love Krishna? Not so easy. Because when we go in front of Krishna, we have expectations, we have demands, we have desires, we have plans that we want the Lord to fulfill. But Hanuman is not looking at what he can get, but what he can give. And when you give, when you're in that spirit of giving, serving, the attitude of sacrificing your own agenda for Krishna's agenda, then you get more mercy. Just like Hanuman was going to find Sita, and then he found Sita, and then he was coming back. And as he was coming back to report back to Ram, he was thinking, how will I tell Ram that I found Sita? So as he was about to reach Ram, he thought to himself, I will tell Ram, I found Sita. And then he thought, how can I say that? I found Sita? I'm putting I first? How can I approach my Lord in that spirit with I first, with so much ego, with so much pride, with so much sense that I'm the doer? He said, I cannot tell Ram, I found Sita. So then as he was walking, he thought, maybe I'll tell him, Sita found I. I'll keep I at the end. Sita found I. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's what I'll say. Then he was working a little fool and he thought, I'm not going to say that. Because if I say Sita found I, Ram is in so much anxiety that what is happening to Sita? Is she alive? Is she dead? If I say Sita found I, then when I say Sita, for one moment, the Lord is going to have to experience anxiety. Is he going to say Sita dead? Sita alive? Sita didn't find? Sita with Ravan? So he said, I don't want to give the Lord one moment more anxiety than I need to give him. Therefore, just before he reached Lord Ram, he said, you know how I'll deliver the message? Found Sita I. Grammatically, I don't know. Devotionally, perfect. Because that's the mood of service. With no ego. With no sense of pride. Not that I did so many things for this movement. I did so many things for the devotees. I did so many amazing things. I comes last. And very sensitive to how the Lord is feeling. Not that we just do the service that we like. We do the service that needs to be done and that will please Krishna. So this is the service mood of Hanuman. Really showing us that if we are in not just doing devotional service, not just being busy, but at the same time having a proper mood and character while we're serving, then you get more mercy. Like sometimes it's very common that we like doing service, but sadhana is difficult, isn't it? Sometimes practically, devotees are amazing. We want to do so much. I engage all my energies for Krishna. Give me something practical to do, but sadhana we might find difficult. But the idea is that if you do sadhana, if you connect to Krishna through hearing and chanting, then when you do service, you won't just be doing service, but your attitude, your mood, your disposition, your focus on Krishna will be much greater. So then you won't just be doing service, but you'll be doing devotional service. So this movement is not just about doing many things for Krishna, but it's about doing many things for Krishna with the right mood, with the right attitude. Because if you serve Krishna, but you don't have the right mood or attitude, then it doesn't please Krishna ultimately, because Krishna doesn't need anything. Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. He grasps the mood, the sincerity, the devotion. So Hanuman had that. He had that great devotion and that great service attitude. So Narad Muni learned from Prahlad Maharaj that he got the mercy. Hanuman got the mercy. Okay? So time is going on, and we still have one more day, so I'm going to leave a bit of time for questions and answers. So if anyone has any questions, before we do that, just to recap. So today we discussed about how Brahma was directed to Shiva. Shiva got the mercy because he gives mercy to others. But then Shiva directed Narad Muni to Prahlad. And Prahlad got mercy because he learned this very deep quality. You must rely on Krishna. Don't try to control everything in life. And Prahlad Maharaj directed Narad Muni to Hanuman because Hanuman had a very amazing service attitude. It's not just that Hanuman did big things, but he did big things with a big heart. And when you do big things with a big heart, or even do small things with a big heart, then you get a lot of mercy. So one thing I want to say is that each one of these devotees are all amazing Vaishnavas. So when they say, it wasn't me, I made a mistake, I'm not so great, we should just understand it's an exhibition of their own humility. Prahlad Maharaj is perfect. Shiva is perfect. None of these devotees have any faults whatsoever. But a devotee is humble.
A devotee is always trying to see, where can I improve? Can you imagine Lord Ram would send out spies into the kingdom to find out what people were saying about him, and then he would get that information back and then change himself? Has anyone ever done that? Have you ever, you know, maybe you want to try it this weekend. Send out some spies in Bucklands. And tell them to go out and find out what devotees think about you, and then take that feedback and take it seriously and then change it. You would never do that. But this is the character, this is the mood of a devotee. Yeah, so these are some of the secrets of mercy that we're learning. So when you're hearing all these secrets of mercy, try to think, how does it relate to my life? And how can I benefit from this secret so that I can get more mercy? These are the real secrets, not the secret law of attraction. Rhonda Byrne, the secret. Not that we have anything against it, but this is the real secret. The real secret is how we can get mercy from Krishna. Hare Krishna. I don't know if anyone has any questions or comments or any clarifications. Yes,
thank you for a wonderful class. And I just wanted to ask a quick question. Recently, a couple of guests, friends, have visited the temple, and they've criticized a little bit because of receiving some negative experience through how they've been treated by devotees, like on a Sunday program or something. And I just wanted to, you know, as devotees, we're all trying our best to serve. Sometimes we may have lack of manpower, so we're trying to do the needful, but maybe our mood isn't quite right, and when we interact with someone, you know, it may come across a little bit negative. So I just wondered if you can say something in relation to the service attitude, but how do we make sure that we're also thinking about everyone else visiting the temple, and making sure that we don't get so caught up in doing the needful that we forget about actually this is not me, this is Krishna's home, and giving them that positive experience as well.
That's a very good point, thank you. Yeah, this is what I was saying about service attitude, that it's not just about getting service done, but it's about getting it done in the right mood. If you're doing a service but you're disregarding other people, you're not sensitive to how other people are feeling, does that please Krishna? Because Krishna is actually very concerned about how each one of his devotees are feeling. And Krishna says, more important than even service to me is service to my devotees. Somehow or other, this is what we call a Kanishtha mentality. Yeah, you want to know, Kanishtha means a very materialistic devotee. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Archayam eva haraye pujam ya shadaye hate natad bhakti shuchanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita shmita. Ishvare tadira. Archayam eva haraye. One may worship Krishna. Pujam ya shadaye hate. I'm worshipping and serving Krishna with great shraddha, with great faith. But what's their defect? Natad bhakteshu chanyeshu. They see Krishna there, but they don't see Krishna within the hearts of every living being. Sa bhakta prakrita smita. So if you do your service thinking, this is my service, but you disregard everyone around you and you're not sensitive to how people are feeling, then you're seeing Krishna, but you're not seeing Krishna right next to you inside the heart of the people. So if it's like, get out of my way, I have service to do for Krishna, then we've missed the whole point. So therefore, when people come to the temple, even with devotees, the most basic thing we can do is smile. Isn't it? People don't smile nowadays. I've seen on London Underground, what to speak of, people smile, they don't even look at each other. People are not looking at each other, they're opposite each other in the tube, they don't look at each other. Instead, what they do is they look at the other person in the window. So they look at the other person in the reflection. So they're looking like that, and the amazing thing is the other person's looking also, and then their eyes meet in the reflection. People
don't even look at each other nowadays. What to speak of smile? So the most basic thing you can do is when you're walking in the corridor, at least look at someone, at least smile, at least say Hare Krishna. It goes a long way. It goes a long way. One time, this reminds me of a story. One time Hari Sariprabhu, he was managing temples in India. And you know, like in India, it's like a stampede. So then you just have to push people. There's no way. So Hari Sari once came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, this is a different culture. Like in the West, we can't just push people, you know? Like we don't do that. But I said, no, no, this is India. You just push people. You have to do it. He said, no, I don't feel comfortable. Prabhupada said, there's one art. Smile. The more you smile, the more you can push. The more you smile, the more you can push. So then people won't take offense. But the point is, smile. I mean, spiritual life is joyful. So if people come to the Hare Krishna temple, they should see that this is a happy place. One time someone came actually for japa time. Already you can understand. I mean, the person came for japa time, so he was like the first time. So then we went over and spoke to him, and he said, like, what's going on here? I said, we're meditating. And he said, all right. I said, yeah, our philosophy is very simple. Chant and be happy. And then he's looking at the room around. And one devotee is like this, like they're completely excruciating. Another person is like completely falling asleep. I mean, practically you could bring a sleeping bag there. And then another one is going 100 miles per hour around Tulsi. And he said, chant and be happy. So I said, anyway, chant, struggle a little bit, and then be happy. So sometimes we're struggling so much in our own life that we express no happiness towards others because we're just trying to survive ourselves. So we understand spiritual life is difficult sometimes, service is difficult, there's a lot of anxiety, but we must be sensitive to how people are. If people come to our temple and we don't even smile, they don't even feel a warm reception. What happened to Parikshit? He walked into the hermitage and he felt a cold reception. Not even water, not even some sweet words, not even some acknowledgement from Shamik Rishi. Of course, he was in trance. That's a different thing. So if you're in samadhi in the temple, then you're off. Then we let you off. But if you're not at the stage of samadhi, Krishna prem, internal consciousness, where you've lost all sense of the world, then please at least smile. Then we'll have a very nice temple. So therefore, Atiti Devo Bhava. Sometimes the demigods are coming to your place in disguise, just to see how you receive them. So he said in Jagannath Puri, the demigods are coming every day to take darshan. But they don't come like a demigod, they come like some simple villager. You may think, ah, just some villager. That may be a demigod. Every day the demigods are coming to Puri temple and taking darshan. So, every day the demigods may also be coming to the manor. But we don't know who they are. Anyway, they said there's three characteristics of a demigod. One thing is that their feet doesn't touch the ground. The second thing is that they cast no shadow. And what's the third one? The third one as well. Anyway, so that's how you can tell if a demigod has come. But the point we're making is let's create a very warm reception. At least smile. Is that okay? Just thoughts. Anyone else? Any question?
Relay? Thanks for the presentation.
Please, can you elaborate a little bit more in a modern way how we can rely on Krishna, like in day to day or not? Where exactly we need to live?
So, reliance on Krishna, the main thing I want to say is that reliance on Krishna means accepting Krishna's plan for your life. Whatever Krishna is arranging,
we should learn to embrace Krishna's plan. Sometimes we look up at God and say, God, change my situation. And God is looking at down at us saying, but I sent this situation so you can change yourself. Everything that's happening to us is happening under the plan of Krishna. So somehow or other, to rely on Krishna means to understand whatever struggles, whatever difficulties, whatever obstacles, instead of becoming discouraged, instead of always trying to fight it, we have to somehow find out what is Krishna teaching me in this situation so I can develop. It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard, because our natural thing is always to fight the situation. But in fighting the situation, we never learn from the situation. So we're always trying to make quick fix external solutions. Like, it's like you're stuck in a traffic jam on the A406, and you think, I'm one step ahead of everyone, so you go on the sat nav and you recalculate the route. And then you realize, okay, if I get off at the next exit, and then it's free for 1 mile, you're cruising and you're thinking, just see, all those guys, they don't know, you know, I got the reroute, you know, I'm one step ahead of the game. And then what happens is 1 mile down the road, you get stuck in another traffic jam. And now you're in a traffic jam on the longer route. And then you think to yourself, next time I get stuck in a traffic jam, I'm never going to do that again. I'm just going to stay on the road. And then next time, you do the same thing again. So somehow or other, if we try to make external solutions, I'm not saying that sometimes we don't try and change our situation. Sometimes we do. We can try and solve problems. But you'll notice actually in life that sometimes the same situation comes up again and again. Have you noticed? Sometimes the same thing keeps happening. This is like Groundhog Day. It's like the same thing happening again and again. Maybe, just maybe, Krishna is sending you the same situation because there's something you need to learn from it. And if you don't learn from it, then Krishna says, okay, here you go again. Here you go again. Third time lucky. So the main thing I want to say when I talk about relying on Krishna is do your best and then leave the rest to Krishna. And be confident. Rakshishyati divishvasho. Have that vishvash, that conviction, that whatever Krishna is arranging in my life, ultimately it must be for some good. And I need to just learn how to find the opportunity in the difficulty. Is that okay? Any one last question, if anyone has?
Yeah. What's the difference between
Shiva and Sadashiva?
So Shiva has different manifestations, and the basic difference between Shiva and Sadashiva is that there's the spiritual world and then there's the material world, okay? And in between the spiritual and material world, there's something called Viraja. Viraja means the causal ocean. So the causal ocean is what separates the spiritual from the material. So on the causal ocean, on the spiritual world side, is Sadashiva. He's a direct incarnation of Vishnu. And then on the causal ocean, on the material world side, you have Shiva, who's the demigod, who's in charge of, or who's in contact with material nature, and in charge of the mode of ignorance, tamas. So there's the demigod Shiva, who takes care and functions within the material realms. And then there's Sadashiva, who is on the spiritual world side, who's untouched and non-different from Vishnu. So basically, it's just different manifestations of the Shiva Tattva. So Shiva Tattva is very complex, very difficult to understand. Because Shiva is not exactly Vishnu, but he's not also a living entity either. There's Jiva Tattva, which is living entity. There's Vishnu Tattva, which is Krishna and his incarnations. And Shiva has his own Tattva, Shiva Tattva. So he is a very special case, but in essence, that's what it is. Sadashiva is on the spiritual world side. Demigod Shiva is on the material world side. So Kailash, when we talk about the spiritual world, Kailash, that's where Sadashiva is, and then you have Shiva in the material realm. Okay, so I think we'll finish there. Time is moving on. So I think that session is at 10 o'clock.